performance in chapter 10. Let's start reading at verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Oh, excuse me. I'm so anxious to tell a story here. Heavenly Father, indeed, we do thank you for this opportunity to have a story to tell. Thank you, Father, that prayers here and might hear and believe. We ask, Father, that thou would so bless this meeting. And we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm going to give my testimony. That is, I'm going to tell you how I came to be saved. One thought that I had in preparation for this time was that in my testimony is the fact that God's word came to me, and I heard what God had to say. And that's how it is when anybody is saved. God's word comes to you. Not just in a head knowledge, but he comes to you in your life, in your heart. He comes to you. He speaks to you. Now, it's not like some people might think that there's a great flash of light and a big voice. It's not like that. God's within. He speaks to you in a very special fashion. He speaks to you directly. And that's what we have confidence in. I want to start telling you where I came from. How I came to know God. The first time I can recall having heard about God, I was a young boy. I was maybe only 4, 5 years old, probably about 4. And I can remember my father coming to take me for a visit. My father and mother were divorced. And I was just a little boy. And my father would come and take myself and my sister, who was younger than me by a year. And he would take us with him on walks. That's how we visited. That's how I knew my father. He would come to visit us and take us for walks on Sundays usually. And he would take us to the directory of the Catholic Church. He was Catholic, and there was a priest there. And he would sit and talk with the priest, and my sister and I would play on the floor of the rectory, and he would talk with him, and he'd be counseling with him. And my father was troubled probably by his divorce, but he was also alcoholic. Would speak with the priest, and at the end of that time, the priest would come and gather us up together, and he'd put his hands on us, and he'd pray over us. He was talking to God about us and about a blessing that he wanted God to have for us. And that's the first time I heard about God. People in my house didn't pray, so I didn't know much about God. There was no Bible reading. I didn't know much about God. Maybe only a couple of years later, my mother, the single mom that she was, had enough money put together where she sent me to a Catholic school. I went to a Catholic school, and I believe it was the first grade. One of the first things they taught us was the catechism. Who made me? That's the question in the catechism. Who made me? And the answer is, God made me. And who is God? God is the supreme being. I never forgot that. I never forgot that. Who made me? Made me. That's what I learned about God. God made me. And who is God? The supreme being. Above everything. Supreme. Not a problem with that. That's the way it is in the world as I understood it. God made me. I even went to the church a few times. I didn't go as a regular. I didn't attend Sunday masses every week. But once in a while I would go. Once in a while my mother sent me off and I would go. She wouldn't be with me, but she would send me off too. It was a short walk up the hill. In those days, 6, 7 years old, you walk up the hill, no problems. You're free to do that as a young youngster, but not today. And the school would take us through the church, and there were relief carvings in the walls outlining the stations of the cross. And what they would do is they would follow the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, and the group of people within the church would move around the church, and they'd be in front of these relief carvings, and you would be told the story of what is happening at this point in the crucifixion. The Lord Jesus being scourged, the Lord Jesus bearing the cross being borne by someone else to carry it for him, being nailed to the cross. 12 stations there were. You go around, and I knew the story, but that's what it was to me, just a story, just a little story. It wasn't that important. It was Catholic. That's what being Catholic was. You followed that story. That's a story. But it wasn't personal. It wasn't something to me. It wasn't meaningful to me. Many years later, my teenage years, 1967, which is about 50 years ago, the country was at war with Vietnam. And many of the young men my age at that time, I was 18, 19 years old, were being drafted into the military, being taken away to go serve in the war. And I was caught up with the fancy idea of being in the war. I wanted to be a soldier. Many of my uncles had served in the military. They were in World War II in Korea. They had served under different generals. It was a glorious kind of thing, a big honor to be in the military. And I thought I wanted to go do that. That's what I'm going to go do. And I decided I was going to jump out of airplanes and be a soldier. And then I had a visit from a cousin who had been in the Navy. And he came in and told me, he said, "Bill, it's not quite that way." He set me straight. He made me understand that it's a very dangerous thing to be in war. I could lose my life. Many men were losing their lives. And I shouldn't be so casual about it or flippant or easy about it, but it was dangerous, very dangerous. And he talked me out of going into the airborne. He talked me into going into the Navy. And so I joined the Navy. I was in high school, and I finished high school. I joined in a delayed entry program. They gave me a couple of months to spend at home with my friends before I was going off to boot camp and training. And I went out and partied with my friends. I'd be out here partying with my friends. I got to be about, I was supposed to go in October, or September, excuse me, September. And so it got to be about that time, and one night I came home from being out with my friends, and I lay back on the porch, and I remember it clearly. I lay back on the porch, and I looked up, and I could see stars up there. And I looked up there, and I said, that's where God is. God is out there somewhere. And he knows where I'm going. He knows all that's going to happen to me. He knows everything about me. And in return, something in my heart said, "God, I want to know you. I want to know you." I don't know why, but that's where it was. God knows me. God made me. And he's the supreme being. And he knows all my days. He knows what's going to happen to me when I leave my home, when I go into the military. He knows. And I want to know him. I want to know him. That was in my heart, that I wanted to know him. So shortly, I had taken to an induction center down in Whitehall Street in New York City. And when we got there, there was a group of people called the Salvation Army. And they gave us little ditty bags, they called it. A little bag with all kinds of soap and perfumes. And it was a little Gideon's New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. The Gideons are people who give away Bibles. They give Bibles, put God's word into people's hands. That's their whole mission, just give away God's word. So here was this little green New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And I'd never had a Bible in my hand before that I could remember. And I thought, wow, that's cool. God's word here. So when I get out to boot camp, the first thing the officer tells us is to throw all that stuff away. Dump out your shaving lotions and everything, the soaps that they give you. Dump that out here. That's not, you're not going to have that. All your clothes, your clothes are going to be changed. You're going to be wearing uniforms, so all of your clothes have to be bagged up and sent home. But all the stuff there, you're going to throw in the trash. But you can keep that little you can keep that little Bible. And I did. I hang on to it. I said, I want that little Bible. I'm going to hang on to that. That's important. That's God's word. you know, I'll hang on to that. And so while I'm in the Navy, I went through boot camp, and I'm in the Navy, and I'm out there on my ship. I was deployed in a submarine, and I was well away from the war in Vietnam, but still, I was on the front line, so to speak. You see, when I was in school, we had to have drills because we were afraid that there would be a nuclear bomb. We had to get out of our desks and go out in the hallway, and we'd line up in the hallway under the windows, and we'd get down on our hands and knees and put our hands over our head. And we were afraid of a nuclear blast. We were preparing for a war. But now, here I am on a nuclear ship in part of that war that could be happening. And I took up an interest again in reading the Bible. You see, I was a reader. I read a lot of novels. I had time to see, so I had a lot of novels I would read. Kenneth Roberts, Rabelais, different books about history. I liked reading. I enjoyed it. So I pick up that little Gideon's Bible, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and I start reading, and I'm reading. I can't get this. I can't understand this. There were things in here. It seemed like somebody was always dying. That's my impression. Somebody's always dying. I just couldn't get into it. I just couldn't read that. And I'd be reading all other books. I'd be reading from cover to cover. But I tried reading that, and it just wouldn't stick with me. At one point, I found a Bible in the ship's library, but it was a complete Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, something a little bit different. So I opened it up, and at some point, it jumped out at me that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. That was a big thought in our time, you know, peace. That was a symbol. People used to say, peace, we want peace, we don't want war. In light of the Vietnam War, they wanted peace. And I thought, wow, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I'm on duty. My duty was to drive the ship. I was a driver, and there was always two drivers and an alternate. And we're sitting there huddled around the sticks where we used to drive the submarine. And I said to John next to me, John Dugan, I said, John Dugan, I says, did you know that Jesus was the Prince of Peace? He looked over at me and he said, what? You believe that stuff? And he ridiculed me. And my interest in it just kind of shriveled up. I wasn't going to talk to him about that anymore. He ridiculed me. That was God's word in my hands. And I didn't want it. I forgot to tell you another important part. You see, when I was in boot camp, they had us go to church every Sunday. And one of the things at church that I went to, Catholic church, was a mass. Now, all my time as a Catholic outside the Navy, I had no idea. The mass was where everybody went. They sat down, and the priest did something, and people got up and down. And I didn't get it. I was there. I was where I was supposed to be. But here at boot camp now, I have a chance to find out what this is all about. Because you see, they're giving me this book called A Missal. And a mass and a missal, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading this missal, and what it's telling me is that the priest is up there offering a sacrifice for my sins. A sacrifice in this day and age? You need a sacrifice for sins? What is this? It seems strange to me. It seemed foreign. It seemed antique, old. Old, not the 60s. I was a little old for you now, but for me, the 60s, I was a young man. People don't need this. What is this old stuff? That's old religion. It didn't seem like it was relevant to me. And so when I went to mass, I went to sleep. I stopped reading the Missal. I didn't care about that. I went to sleep. But that was God talking to me and telling me what I needed to know. So when I told John about the Prince of Peace again, my interest just lost. He ridiculed me, and my interest was just lost. So here was God telling me things about himself, his word, and I'm rejecting it. I'm not getting it. When I left the Navy, and I got a job at a hospital. I started working at a hospital as a mechanic. Things I had learned in the service. I was a mechanic in the Navy. Not only did I drive, but I learned the machinery, and I learned how to care for it and take care of things. And so I spent time in the hospital on duty. I would do the rounds of the building. I would look everything over to make sure it's okay. And then I had free time before the next round. I had free time where I could just just sit there. In the waiting areas of the hospital, they had a lot of religious literature, some Christian Science, there was Theosophy, there was Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower publications out there. And I would take these things up and I'd start reading them, and I'd compare them. You see, I still had that little New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And I would take that and I would compare what was said in there to what was said in those publications. And when I got to the Christian Scientists, it seemed like they would quote the scripture, but then they would say, well, this is what it really means. And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute, that isn't exactly what it says. It says this exactly, and they're telling me this is what it means. And so I couldn't believe that. They're telling me it's meaning something other than what I'm reading and understanding for myself. And I was getting some pretty good ideas out of that little New Testament. There were things that, wow, suddenly it's not so strange to me anymore. There's ideas and things in here that are of interest to me. So then the other stuff was the Jehovah's Witnesses and Watchtower and stuff. And I'd read what they were saying, and then suddenly it seemed to me that they're promoting themselves. They're pointing everything back to themselves rather than what's in here. Because you see, now I'm reading this and I'm saying, gee, there's something going on in here. And I've got to understand what's going on in this book. I mean, I've read a lot of books, and I get a lot of stories. I didn't know what it was. But this is God's word, you see. And they're talking about it, but they're not telling me what's here, they're telling me what they are. They were pointing at themselves. And I rejected that. Because I didn't figure they were as good as they could tell me they were good. They were telling me they're good people. You know, they're sinners. Because you see, I found out I was a sinner. When I was reading God's word, I found out that there were things in here that were true, and I was on the wrong side of it. I was a sinner. That's what I really learned from God's word, first and foremost. I'm a sinner. And things weren't looking too good for me, the way I'm living as a sinner. So God's word convicted me. I'm a sinner. There was another man at the hospital. I talked to him. I talked about these things that I've been reading. And he says to me, Bill, he says, all these religions are the same, and Jesus is no special person. I says, just look at the virgin birth. Hey, come on. Virgin birth, really? And I thought to myself, wow, you know, I don't have an answer for him. I don't have an answer for him. I said, I've got to read some more. I've got to find out more about this. You see, instead of me losing interest at this point, now I want to defend what I'm reading. There's a change in me. A change that I didn't really notice at the time, but it was a change in my interest. Now, I didn't lose interest because somebody ridiculed it. I wanted to find out more. And so I kept reading, and I kept reading the little New Testament. And one night I'm in the top of the hospital. It was a night shift. And I had made my rounds, and I've got time to sit there and read, and I'm reading it. And the thought comes to me that what this is telling me, what this Bible is telling me, is that Christ died for my sins. He died for me. And it became important to me to say, Christ died for my sins. All these things I'm reading, Christ died for my sins. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm contemplating it, I'm going over and over in my mind, Christ died for my sins, he died for me, he paid for my sins. If that's not true, then none of this means anything else to me. And I sat there, I don't know how long, I sat there and ran it over and over again. Christ died for me. He died for my sins. He died for me. And at one point, it was just like he was right there telling me, Bill, Christ died for your sins. He died for me. It was like he was right there and he said, I died for your sins. And I believed it. Christ died for me. It wasn't just a moment that I could ever forget. Christ died for me, and it was real. It was really for me that he did this. And it was personal. He made himself known to me. That's how it can best spread it. He made himself known to me. I know him because he made himself known to me. He died for my sins. He told me three things. There were three things that God made me understand at that point. First and foremost, Christ died for my sins. The second one was, I should tell somebody. I should tell somebody about this. And the third thing was, I should love my wife the way he loved me. You see, I've been married for about a year at this point in my life. I've been married. And things weren't looking too good there for me. I wasn't too happy about it. It wasn't going the way I thought it should. But here's God telling me that his son died for me. He's telling me that I should tell somebody about it. And he's telling me that I should love my wife the way he loved me, unconditionally. You see, I'm still a sinner. I'm still on the wrong side of God. And I have a Savior. He died for me. He didn't wait for me to get better. I didn't have to do something to get better. I didn't have to do something so that Christ died for me. I was already a sinner. And he's reaching down to me and he's telling me that he died for my sins. And I believe him. He paid for my sins. And so, yeah, I want to tell somebody. I went home and I told my wife. I mean, it was very humbling. It was a humbling experience. And I went home and I told my wife. And she looked at me like I was crazy. she didn't believe it, in a sense, I guess. Okay, Bill. And you know, I told her a lot. I told her that time and time and time and time again over the course of a year, maybe 2 years, telling her a lot of times that this is the truth, this is what God is doing. And my wife was pregnant, and she was going to have a baby. And at the same hospital, she was going to have this baby of ours. And so, I had been telling her to the point where I was a real bother to her. But here she was, in the room with her baby. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And here is her son. And this is what God did for her. And that's when my wife got saved. So I trusted Christ and was saved by his word. My wife saw what God did for her and trusted that he paid for her sins. And she got saved through his word. Now, that was the same hospital. You see, I was up here on the roof, and her room was down there many years later, 4 years later, down there in the same hospital. And she got saved, maybe only 30 feet, 35 feet away from where I got saved in the same hospital. And that hospital was the hospital where I was born as a baby. So I was born and born again in the same hospital. And my wife was saved right there, 35 feet away from where I got saved, in the pediatric ward. God's word made a difference to us. God's word had me understand his love for me. God's word showed me the truth. All I had to do was trust. You see, when I rejected the sacrifice in the Navy, when I heard that missile tell me that I needed a that there's a sacrifice going on here for my sins, I poo-pooed that. That was old stuff. I didn't need that. Now here I am with God's word in my hand, and he died for me. There's a sacrifice for my sins. And so I've come all the way from not needing a sacrifice to accepting the sacrifice that God gave me. Why? Because it's the truth of God. It's his word. He made it known to me. Just as he does to every believer, he makes it known to you. And if you want to know him, Jesus has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. Because Jesus is the Savior, you have only to go to him and spend time with him. I spent time with him. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have life, but they are they which testify of me. You read that Bible, there's a person in there dying for you. That's what I found out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God is gracious to put his word in our world. God is gracious in understanding of you and all your personal needs and problems. And he's here. He's here with you for your good, unto his glory and honor. Many of us will come up here and tell our story. I love to tell the story. And it's old, you know, the old story. Now, told you back there in 67, I was born in 48. It was 50 years ago that I started, 50 years ago, that I laid back on that porch and I looked up and said, God, I want to know you. What do you think? You think I know God now? Does it look real to you? I hope so, because it's real for me. And though many times in my life, there have been times when I might wonder, am I really saved? Did God really do that to me? There's a time in my life, there's a point in my life, He made Himself known to me. No questions. I can't question what happened in there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's precious to me. That is so precious to me. When I depart from this world, when I awake with thy likeness, there's hope I have. There's an expectation in my heart. Leaving this world, there's another world. There's another world. There's heaven. There's to be with God forever. We can't stay here forever. We don't live in this world. This world's going to be changed and destroyed according to God's word. Things are happening around you that you don't even know about. I don't know how many times God has saved me from things that might have happened. But He's here. He's real. He wants to make Himself known to you just as He did to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want salvation? It's hearing God's word. Open God's word. Look and see for Him. Look and see for the Lord. Close the word of prayer. Our Father, we do indeed thank You for the goodness that has been shown to us in the work of Thy Son on the cross. The forgiveness of sins, the payment made there. We pray, Father, that the lost might hear and believe, that all might indeed glorify Thee in what Thou hast done through Thy Son, the Lord Jesus the Christ. So we ask and pray the blessing on the word as it was spoken here.